this morning while getting ready for tonight, and I remember I had a conversation with Keegan and Shyla and Azul before we started today, this afternoon, and we were all on the same page about this one. This morning, as I was just getting ready, one of the things that jumped up in my heart was about how we receive as people. And there were four particular areas, and I wrote them down because I didn't want to forget them. And I wrote them down. And that's why I want to engage with each and every single one of you and challenge each and every single one of you today. Whether you're watching, connecting online, or in this house. Because what you find is there are times where everybody here, actually, let me ask this question. Is anybody here that has something that they need from God as an answer? Like there's something you trust in God for, there's an answer you need. Anyone by a show of hands? The Bible school students know what I mean by a show of hands. I'm old school. We don't do 90 degree angles. We are straight. We are not squiff here. We are straight here. And I remember I was lecturing during Rock Solid Faith, and I was talking to the guys who had Rock Solid Faith. And I said, there's things that are hidden that are mysteries from people for certain reasons. Jesus says, if you want to take your seat, you can take your seat. If you want to remain standing, you can remain standing. Stay with me, band, except for the vocals, they can remain standing. You know, one of the things that hit me hard, and it was quite an interesting thing, because I was talking to the students and I said, you have to understand something. Jesus says these words. He says, this kind only comes out by fasting and praying. That means there are kinds that only have certain ways that they operate or are operated on. You see, a doctor, when he's operating, uses various instruments in his process of operating. Now, you can access those instruments or access those things, but you need to do a certain thing to step into that. So it's not a case of simple of, this is not Herbex, a Herbalife, whatever, Khaselas Mafuta for everything. The gospel is not that. There are certain things. I love a man of God who I love and hold in high regard, Apostle Joshua Salmon says, the Bible is full of patterns. So there are certain things that are applicable. When we engage them, they actually have an impact and an effect on us. One of them is called praise. In the midst of praise, God will give you an answer. If you look at the story in Acts chapter 16, while Paul and Silas were in prison, what was the difference? Praise. There was prayer and there was praise. The praise was so powerful that chains began to fall off. It wasn't like Peter where things, doors were open. It was literal chains and a shaking took place. So there are answers and things that separate you and define you through praise and worship. You look at the life of David. David was a psalmist. That means he wrote music. His lifestyle was that of praise. Even as a king, he danced. He danced and even took off his kingly garments and robes and basically was in his underwear. Dancing. Why? Because he understood that when I praise God, there is a difference. Also, when you praise, you receive a response. Because the Bible declares that God inhabits the praises of his people. And where God is, answers exist. Answers are. Answers manifest. So sometimes you're looking for an answer, but it's still hidden in your praise. You've been searching all over. You've been fasting and praying, but it's been hidden in your praise. You've been wondering, where is God? But it's been hidden in your praise. So sometimes you need to get a foot loose. You need to get off your chair. You need to move. And this is not just at NXT. It's at home. Sometimes you got to lift your hands. You got to worship. You got to throw yourself at the, and say, God, I'm just going to throw myself. I don't care if you can dance. I don't care how many left feet you have. It can be embarrassing for us here in the natural. We might even laugh at you. But I tell you right now, it is God who has the last laugh. The Bible says he sits in heaven and he laughs. God is sitting and he's laughing. Because he's looking at you and he's looking at the enemy and he's watching your two left feet praise, where you look like you're having a seizure or a stroke while you're busy praising God. But he's not laughing at you. He might be laughing, but he's laughing at the enemy because the answers have just come. That's why it's important to praise. Praise isn't just something we do at the beginning of youth. It's not something we just do at the beginning of the program to get everyone excited. Praise is a weapon that engages in the things of God. Praise is also an expression of your faith. Because you are praising God. Sometimes people, this thing is, oh, we praise God for what he's done. No, I also praise God for what he's about to do. You see, we have to understand, faith isn't just, oh, I'm trusting. Faith is, it's done. Jesus was on the cross and he says, it's finished. What's finished? The redemptive work. But you weren't even born yet, but he already knew it was finished. He already knew that you were sorted. So when praise jumps in, it's activated through faith. When you say, God, I thank you because you've already done it. I praise you because you've already done it. Because I've seen you do it before and I'll see you do it again. Now the thought might come and say, I got a clip of Pastor Nancy Dufresne this morning, where she was talking about how sometimes you're picking up stuff that's not yours. You're picking up stuff that's not yours. See, the problem is you keep on picking up stuff that's not yours, but you're leaving the stuff that's for you. Your praise activates and opens your eyes so you can see what's for you. Your praise silences the voice of the enemy because you're screaming louder than the enemy. Ever watch sport? Especially in the United Kingdom, they're singing. Even in South Africa on the soccer, they're singing. It's vuvuzelas. Why? Because if my voice can be heard louder by my team, if my voice can do more, if my voice, if Siya Kolisi or Eben Etz can hear our chants for the Springboks more than the English or the Irish or the French or whoever, what happens? Our team gets motivated. That's why it's called home ground advantage. Last time I checked, the earth is the Lord's. You've always had home ground advantage. So where's your praise? Your praise activates something. That's just the first. Like, there's more. I'm just giving you four. There's more. Like, I don't even have on the list prophetic word on the list. I don't have prophetic word on the list, but I'm just going to stick to these four. You can write prophetic word as a fifth one. But that's how you receive and you step in. Praise. Another thing. Hallelujah. Another thing that we carry is prayer. Now, one of the things that's been big is that when it comes to anything, we pray. We have that time where we're going to pray. And some of you will sit there and look at us like we're crazy. Listen. Prayer opens and activates things. The Bible says early in the morning, Jesus would go. The Bible says the disciples of John came and said, teach us to pray. How do we pray? You see, there is a way that you pray. There is power in prayer. The Bible declares that when James got arrested, the church did nothing. The Bible says they arrested James. Nothing happened. They killed him. I think it was Herod says, hey, this is awesome. People love me for this stuff. Let's get Peter next. The Bible then declares that they grabbed Peter. But this time, the church did what? The church prayed. There's something about when you begin to engage in prayer. Listen to another man of God saying this morning. He said, he gave a random number and he said, I would even dare to say 80% of your prayer needs to be kiyata lamonde, brakasko, tete amondoshkata, brakatitia. You see, the problem is sometimes we think my time of prayer is just a time of petitioning God. No, that's a small part of your prayer. Your prayer life needs to be mainly focused on declaring the goodness of God. Father, we thank you. Basically, you're just praising him all over again. You're communicating the greatness of God. Father, let your will be done. That's why the Lord's Prayer is a literal pattern on how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we start with acknowledging the King. How do I begin my prayer? Lord, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's why you first start. You don't start with, oh, Father, give us today our daily bread. That's how some of you start your prayers. You start with giving me your daily bread. What happened to our Father who art in heaven? And most of you know how to do this. I love there's a parable in the Bible, and it speaks about a father. It says, how would an evil father give bread, give a snake to his son when he asks for bread? But how would an evil child know to come to daddy and say, oh, dad, you're so amazing. I love you. You're the greatest dad in the world. You're the greatest dad I've ever had. You're the only dad ever had. But how can a wicked generation, and I'm talking in comparison, know how to go to and say, dad, you know, when I saw you dancing the other day, those moves, yo, I see how you got mom. Yo, hi, when are you special? When I'm going, you're my guy, you're number one. Right? And you're like, you know what? This society missed out. Yo, when you could have been a superstar. Dad, you know, you're so amazing. You're great. You're such a great guy. You know, today I even washed the dishes. I hugged my sister. I hugged my brother. And then, dad, can I just have 200 rand, please? Now, I'm not saying we're manipulating God, but we know to come how to come to our parents. And I'm not just talking to the high scholars here. I know some of you working people as well. Still got to talk to mom and dad sometimes. Be like, hey, So we understand that it's our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I don't want to say the next phrase because I might go on a tangent and we'll be stuck for No. I'll go there in 2 weeks' time. There's a whole phrase that takes me there in 2 weeks' time. So we get to this point to understand prayer is a powerful thing. Prayer breaks shackles. Jesus would pray early in the morning. David says, early in the morning, I will seek thee. Prayer. This is where we get answers and responses. Some of you have been dancing up a storm, but your answer's been hidden in prayer. There are certain answers you will get in praise. There are certain answers you will get in prayer. Then there are certain answers that you'll only get when you open your hand and release and give. This is not an offering message, ladies and gentlemen. There is a story of a man called Abraham, given a promise by God of a son. What does he do? God says, okay, now take your son and sacrifice him. There are things that happen when you decide to release and give. There are answers. Some of you have been dancing. You've been screaming. You've been crying. You've been praying. You've been praying in the Holy Ghost. You've been shande mande rakaya and oshkatara. You've been doing it all, but you've never released the seed. And as a result, you've never received the answer. You've been trusting God. There are things, there are patterns, there are ways. Jesus says this kind, which means there are kinds that operate in different kinds of ways. And then the last one for today is the word. The Bible teaches us a very fundamental principle in Acts chapter 10. Peter, sitting in a house, gets a vision. Then all of a sudden, two men come to him and the angel says, go with them. I'm summarizing. You go read the story yourself. The Bible teaches us that when you get to verse 44, it says, I love it. It says in the English Standard Version, it says, and while Peter was still saying these things, what things was he talking about? He was sharing the good news with Cornelius. He was telling him about Jesus. He was telling him about the life of the Christ, how he died on the cross, how he resurrected. He was telling him about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, something Peter shouldn't have been doing because Cornelius was a Gentile and thus therefore unclean. But God had said to them, do not call what I have called clean, unclean. Who called you unclean? Who called you unworthy? Who called you useless? The Bible says, while he spoke. Some of you have been dancing. Some of you have been singing. Some of you have been praying. Some of you have even released the seed. But you've neglected the gathering of the saints. And when I say neglected the gathering, you might be sitting here, but neglecting the gathering of the saints. You are here in body, but in mind, you're wondering, hey, what time are the Sharks playing? But tomorrow you're thinking, ooh, there's a derby day. But you're busy thinking, ooh, I had some sticky bread at home. But you're busy thinking, ooh, it's my aunt's birthday tomorrow and she knows how to throw a party. The gathering, the word, when it comes in, there's answers, there's hidden mysteries and secrets. Because sometimes I might be standing here right now, and even in my 4 points, I've said some stuff, and then suddenly something drops in your heart, and you're like, wait a minute. I was reading the Bible the other day, and I read this verse. Now, what this preacher just said right now, I'm like, not that it's not in the same line, but it just brings something out that makes me remember. That's why the Bible says the Spirit brings to remembrance. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. Because you have word, and then when you hear word, it comes in, it activates, and then all of a sudden, you receive revelation. Some of you need, and here's the problem. You know, I had the awesome benefit and privilege of being a student here at Fort Hare University, and I was studying my BCom. And the one thing I learned, which helped me when it came to studying the Bible, was that these things are not separate things. They're intertwined and interwoven things. That means it's not things that are separate and island alone. These are things that are combined. They build precept upon precept. So when I'm studying my books at school, the Lord is revealing, I'm studying that an asset is a resource obtained by a result of a past event where economic benefits. And I'm like, but at the same time, the Bible says it's precept upon precept, you see. The one builds on the other. So when God says he is love, this is what it means. So when you hear about love in another context, because the love of God is also the guiding hand of God. It's also the discipline of God. It is also the mercy of God. Because through love, we have faith. So these things begin to build on each other. But then I'm like, so what is faith? And I'm like, I'm building. See, the problem is sometimes you think all I got to do is just praise. All I got to do is just pray. You hear people always talk about, no, we don't, y'all don't pray. And all they ever do is pray. I'm like, when's the last time you opened your Bible? When's the last time you got up and praised God? When's the last time you sow a seed? When is the last time you received or released a prophetic word? When's the last time you wept before the Lord? When is the last time you let loose? You see, these things build precept upon precept. They guide each other and grow each other. You cannot be limited and think all I have to do is pray. All I have to do is praise. All I have to do is worship. All I have to do is pray in the Holy Ghost. All I have to do is give. All I have to do is listen to sermons. You can't listen. Listening to sermons will not get you into what God has called you to. They might encourage you. They might give you some fresh revelation that you can share with people and sound fancy. But those things do not take you to the next level. Sometimes you haven't changed. You haven't grown. There hasn't been a manifestation of that outworking of God on the inside of you. I've been on this tangent and now it's going to get very tricky in here. Are you sure? Because it's coming for you. I've been on this tangent when I've been looking at men and I've been like challenging you guys and I've been a bit hard on you guys. We're supposed to protect ladies, Lumisa. But ladies, I challenge you. Is the inward working of God on the inside of you manifesting itself bodily on you? Now that statement can mean whatever it means to anyone. So what that statement says to you, ladies, what that statement says to you is maybe that point of conviction for you. Because sometimes I look at profile pictures of girls who are Christians. Like I'm friends with some people on social media. And I'm like, looking profile picture, I'm like, why are you facing that way and then twisting your body that way? You dress modestly, but why the, what are you trying to make us look at? But yet that's the same person who's here on a Friday. Pray. That's the same person. Ah. person's faithful in their tithe. They're faithful in the offering. But the word is not working on the inside, manifesting on the outside. You get what you attract. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a building that we are constructing. There's a reason why Jesus is called the chief cornerstone. I'm not saying you need to cover your face and all that needs to be seen is your eyes. But at least cover some stuff up, please. 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 And it's not just that. Now, hear what I'm saying? I've been coming for the men for a long time, challenging, putting out there a generational change. But at some point, there's a balance. We're people of balance. There's balanced accountability. I don't know how I ended up here. I was talking about praise and prayer and all the good things, right? I feel like I'm having a rant. Maybe I should check my phone. Bishop's texting me saying, hey, when I get back to the word. I want the vocals to come back quickly. Even though I told them I mustn't sit down. Hey, this disobedience. Sala! No, it's fine. Emily was doing what Emily does, disappearing, running away. Solo. No, the first, I understand context. The first time I ever met Emily, we went out soul winning. And we were in Southern and we were told we have to stay grouped together, stay within the complex. And at a certain time, we all have to get back together so we can leave. Not Emily disappearing, running across the road, kidnapping some little child who was his first time going out soul winning and running off with him. And then we had to call like 20. We called like 20 people just to find Emily. And eventually she rocked up. So ever since then, when Pastor Niall says, guys, stay 2x2 and in your groups and stay in the area, I always look at Emily. I say, did you hear? Now she's at Monitor World when she's supposed to be on stage. Emily. Emily. There is power in what we do. There is answers in what we do. How many of you are seeking answers from God? And I'm not talking, like some of you are looking for destiny-defining answers. God, and I say this, I want to say this to now because I know there's lots of varsity students scattered across here, right? But maybe you're starting to even question, am I studying the right thing? That's what I love. I look at people, and you can see people. Like, they'll walk past you, they'll smile, they'll greet, and I'm like, this one's got a call of God in their life. They've identified it, they know it, but now they're stuck in a conundrum because they're busy doing humanities and PCOM. But they know they should have been in Bible school. Jesus is calling my name. We're not going to sing that. No. Rest, Bafetu, rest. You see, the problem is sometimes we get so stuck in what we know. We get so stuck on where we've been. We get so stuck on the system we've always assimilated or worked on. That it worked, prayer worked then. Maybe now you need to step into praise because you're not comfortable. Some of you have gotten so comfortable. I dare say this. You've made prayer an idol. You've made praise an idol. You've made the preacher who preaches the word to you an idol. Some of you, it's all about prayer. No, if you don't pray. It's all about, if you don't pray. No. These things are things Jesus all did. Honored the Father, worshiped the Lord, taught the word, received the word. All of these things Jesus did from a young age. He would go to the temple. We know this from scripture. But we get so stuck in the system we knew, the way we knew, the how we knew. But God is calling you higher. But for you to go up higher, you need to do something different than you did before. Why are you still stuck in the traditions of man and the old ways and the old systems? God releases fresh manna
on a regular basis. That's why each generation keeps on going up higher and higher. But you're stuck in the old way. I understand. Back in the day, we had haircut kamzalwane. You know what I'm talking about? That side fade with those shoes. With that, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. Those who are too young maybe don't know. But some of the older ones know exactly what I'm talking about. That hairstyle. When you're Christian, you got that hairstyle. The sisters had the denim skirt. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. The denim skirt, ne? The sisters had the denim skirt. But now you think, but I'm using carnal things, exemplary things. But in the systems we've operated by, we were stuck in the fact that when we praised and we did 3 praise songs, that's how it worked. So we're going to come to NXT on a Friday. I'll come in late. They're going to do 3 praise songs anyway, and then they'll do this. There'll be no way. What system are you operating on? What outdated system are you still operating by? You are stuck in the Old Testament. We are in the New Covenant already. There is a flow in this river. I know we used to be called the river, now we are faith, but there's still a flow here. There is a system we are still operating by. That is not, there's a system people are still operating by. That is not the system that God is moving into now. God is taking us to different realms, but you can't go to the new realm with the old clothes, the old ways, the old strategies. You can't win World War II on World War I strategies. You will die. You can't go to war and think you're going to use the strategies they used during the Crusades now. The guy with the AK-47 will just look at you, you and your sword and Templar Knights, and shoot all of you dead. Am I allowed to say dead? Sorry. So now, however we're going, I want us to enter into a time of praise. Then we'll see where God takes us. Whether then I will minister the word, or we will pray, or we will worship, we will know. All I'm going to say to the vocals is, y'all just carry on singing and going through the songs until we just jump in. We will listen to what God says. For you connecting with us, we're going to just flow with what God says. We're just going to go where God tells us to go right now. There's a flow we need to always pick up. We can't be stuck in the system. I've been saying this to the NXT leaders for a while now. I said at some point we're going to get to a day at NXT where you're going to be surprised. You're going to be like, hey boy, is it already like 7:30? Why is there preaching already? No, because God said, no, start with the word today. You can finish with the other. Start with the word today.